Who can remember the very first that we spoke about in this entire series? So we're on episode 145 or 146. Who was the very first person that we spoke about? Anybody know? A man with a single nation. Very good. What's his name, though? A man who will be standing on the Day of Judgment as an ummah by himself. Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl. Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was the very first person that we actually spoke about. And this was the man that recognized the truth even before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who Allah guided in so many different ways. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that on the Day of Judgment, he would be standing as an ummah all by himself, because he died before the Prophet ﷺ received revelation, while he was waiting for the revelation. And he is, if anyone remembers, he is the cousin of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl, Umar ibn al-Khattab ibn Nufayl. Umar radiallahu anhu's father, Al-Khattab, used to torture Zayd because Zayd was talking about the oneness of God, was speaking against the idols, was speaking against the evil practices in Mecca at the time. Okay, so it was a Zayd. And then, of course, somewhere along the way, we had Zayd ibn Haritha, we had Zayd ibn Thabit. There are other Zayds that we did not even cover. But the Zayd that we're covering tonight, subhanAllah, has to be the most lost Zayd of them all. And that is Zayd ibn al-Khattab ibn Nufayl, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Zayd ibn al-Khattab ibn Nufayl, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the older brother of Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, subhanAllah, when you talk about someone being overshadowed, if you were to take a group of Muslims and sample them randomly and say, who's your favorite Sahabi? Usually the majority of them will say Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His personality is literally larger than life. As soon as you mention his name in the story of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or in the story of another companion, everyone starts to smile because they know it's going to be interesting and amazing. Because his personality was so large, his voice was booming. When he spoke, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he shook literally the road. The shaitan would not be on the same road as Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The barber who was cutting Umar's hair, and Umar radiallahu anhu just opened his mouth and the man faints from the strength of his voice, the boom of the voice of Umar radiallahu anhu. That's the man, Umar radiallahu anhu, and that's not even speaking about his virtues and what he represents. He's a larger than life personality. Imagine being his brother, right? And talk about getting lost and overshadowed and people not knowing anything about you, and the history books glossing over you. On top of that, one thing, subhanAllah, that's very interesting, and I happen to have one brother. I know a lot of people have, you know, siblings that look like them, that are somewhat like them, but they're the opposite of them in terms of personality. There are all types of differences. People make assumptions because you came from the same womb and you look the same, that you might be the same. And in reality, subhanAllah, Allah has given us ashkhas. Allah has given us unique personalities, unique qualities, for which we all have a path back to him. What if I told you that this one Ibn al-Khattab, other than Umar ibn al-Khattab, was one of the most quiet human beings around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's like, wait, what? How's that possible? The Sahabi that we're talking about today is a victim of his silence in that sense. Zayd ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the scholars refer to him as the silent giant because he doesn't open his mouth, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, even though he's the brother of Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So what's the story of this man, and how do we create this world around someone who's so quiet, to understand his personality and understand his virtues? And he is a man of legendary virtue, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Let's first and foremost just take a step back and talk about Umar radiallahu anhu's family. Umar radiallahu anhu has two sisters, right, that we know of. We know of Fatima bint al-Khattab radiallahu anha, and she is an amazing woman, one of the first that we covered as well, the wife of Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, Sa'id ibn Zayd ibn Amr al-Nufayl, who of course was the reason for Umar radiallahu anhu to read the Quran and to embrace Islam. She was married to Sa'id ibn Zayd. So Umar has a sister named Fatima, and he has another sister named Safiya. Safiya bint al-Khattab. And she is married to a great companion by the name of Qudama ibn Mad'un, رضي الله عنه, قدامة بن مذعون. So عمر رضي الله عنه is married to زينب بنت مذعون. فاطمة بنت الخطاب married to his sister, married to سعيد بن زيد, one of the other 10 promised paradise. Then you have صفية بنت الخطاب, who is married to قدامة بن مذعون. So عمر and his sister married from the same family, the siblings of the famous عثمان بن مذعون رضي الله عنه. And then you get to his brothers. Now he has one brother who's a half brother from his mom who never became Muslim, or at least we don't know of him ever embracing Islam. He may or may not have become Muslim. Most historians say he did not become a Muslim, and he's not the son of Al-Khattab. He's Umar's brother through his mother. He's Umar's brother through his mother, and his name is Uthman ibn Hakim. Uthman ibn Hakim, the half brother of Umar radiallahu anhu through his mother. And the reason why we even know about this brother is because there's a famous ruling of fiqh, a famous ruling of jurisprudence that we extract from the relationship of Umar and this man and his brother, that Umar radiallahu anhu gifted him a hulla, gifted him a suit after Islam. When he was in Al-Madinah, Umar radiallahu anhu still kept a good relationship with his brother and gifted his brother a suit, perhaps that he could soften his heart or to maintain the ties of kinship. And so the books of fiqh will mention the permissibility and in fact the encouragement to be good to your non-Muslim family. And so that's why we learn about Uthman ibn Hakim, the brother of Umar radiallahu anhu, through his mother. But there is only one other Ibn al-Khattab, and it's this man that we're talking about today. And he is to Umar like Harun is to Musa. He's 1 year older than Umar radiallahu anhu. And subhanAllah, it just so happens that the Prophet likened Umar radiallahu anhu to Musa alayhi salam. He said, in my ummah, if there's anyone that resembles Musa alayhi salam, it's Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Musa has his brother Harun alayhi salam, who's a lot softer than him, right? Who mahbubun fi qawmihi, who's beloved to his people. Allah, he plays the gentle side to his people when Musa alayhi salam becomes frustrated with his people. And in this situation, very similar dynamic. The brother of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, 1 year older than him, is someone who doesn't have that booming personality of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but he's 1 year older than Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah introduces him with the following title: السيد الشهيد المجاهد التقي أبو عبد الرحمن القرشي العدوي أخو أمير المؤمنين عمر بن الخطاب. He is a Sayyid, our master, a Shaheed, the martyr, al Mujahid, the warrior, a Taqi, a man of legendary piety. Abu Abd al-Rahman, the father of Abd al-Rahman, al-Qurashi, al-Adawi, from Quraysh, from Banu Adi, like his brother Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. أخو أمير المؤمنين عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه, the brother of the commander of the believers عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه. So his name is زيد بن الخطاب بن نفيل. We talked about زيد بن عمر بن نفيل. Some of the scholars mention that this زيد that we're talking about today is named after that زيد. May Allah be pleased with him and be pleased with them all, subhanAllah. So this Zayd is named after that Zayd, and he indeed is an increase in the beauty of this family. And because he's the only brother of Umar radiallahu anhu through Al-Khattab, then you can assume that he had a very difficult childhood, because Al-Khattab was famous for what? What was he famous for? It's okay, you guys can guess. What is Al-Khattab famous for? Abuse, horrible father. Umar radiallahu anhu hated him. He used to beat his son so badly. Umar radiallahu anhu literally would say, I didn't want to become like my father. SubhanAllah, there's a lesson in trauma here, right? That all he remembered Al-Khattab with, Umar radiallahu anhu remembered his father with, was bad qualities. The bad quality of abuse and beating him and mistreating him. And he wanted to be the opposite of his father. And subhanAllah, we see that Umar radiallahu anhu was the best father that you can imagine to his own kids, right? But that means that necessarily Zayd, being the older brother of Umar, he ate that as well, right? Being the firstborn of Al-Khattab, definitely incurred in the process much abuse and a very difficult childhood. How is he described? كان أسن من أخيه عمر وأسلم قبله. He was 1 year older than Umar radiallahu anhu, and he became Muslim a year before Umar radiallahu anhu. So it gets very interesting. He became Muslim before Umar. سبق أخيه إلى الإسلام, which is really crazy, subhanAllah, when you think about it, right? The quiet muhajirin around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He looked exactly like Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu in his physical stature, except that he had a darker complexion, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he had a dark complexion. And he's described as كان طويلا بائن الطول. He was awkwardly tall. Huge human being. Physical stature was imposing. If Umar radiallahu anhu is tall, think of him as being the same height or perhaps even taller, because in every biography of him, his height was so imposing that when he was far away with the people, he was the only one that you knew was approaching. So you think about the physical meaning of that, right? If a group of people are approaching from afar, the only person you could tell from them all was Zayd ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But with that, his height, with his posture, with his position, he's extremely quiet. An imposing physical presence, extremely quiet. And subhanAllah, one thing about him that's really interesting, you only hear his voice in battle. Like the narrations about him, the only time he seems to open his mouth, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is in the battlefield. The person that I could liken him to in this regard is the brother of Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Al-Bara ibn Malik, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, right? Remember Anas, radiallahu anhu, this prolific hadith narrator, Al-Bara, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, throw me in the battlefield, right? And he doesn't talk much. So he's the silent brother of Umar, radiallahu anhu, looks like Umar, slightly darker complexion, the same physical imposing presence, but a very quiet man who does as the Prophet says. Listen to these manaqib, listen to these virtues. He became Muslim before Umar. He made hijrah before Umar. He died shaheed before Umar. May Allah be pleased with them both. So his virtues are incredible. On top of that, he was the pride of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What do I mean by that? You don't see a man praising his brother the way that Umar praises Zayd. And we're going to talk about that. So his entire biography is almost narrated by the way that Umar radiallahu anhu praised his brother. Like, you don't know who he is. He's a victim of his silence, as we said, in terms of the documentation of the history books. But Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu praises Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu in a way that demonstrates that he envied his silent righteousness. Remember, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would regret often. He'd regret if he spoke, right? And he would say that, I wish I could be a quiet believer that enters the gathering and leaves the gathering and no one notices that he is there. And that is one of the praiseworthy personalities that the Prophet ﷺ mentions. Not everyone who gets into Jannah has to be that leader. In fact, sometimes we overpraise the profile of a leader. Most of Ahlul Jannah don't fit that profile of on the front lines and speaking and loud and making your presence known. The Prophet ﷺ mentions the person who enters the gathering and leaves unnoticed. SubhanAllah, Salim, pure from the sins of the gathering, doesn't open their mouth to backbite, doesn't get on anybody's bad side, just puts their head down and worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the time they leave this world. That is a profile of a person of Jannah. And Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu fits this profile. So again, he became Muslim a whole year before Umar. He made hijrah before Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was martyred before Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So we start to create the world around him now in Al-Madina based upon these things around him. And you have to do that because of how quiet he is, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So first and foremost, when he came to Medina, the Prophet ﷺ tended to pair people off with Sahaba in Medina, Ansar, that had similar dispositions. It's from the hikmah of the Prophet ﷺ, the wisdom of the Prophet ﷺ, that you often can find that the Muhajir and the Ansari and the Mu'akha and the Brotherhood have the same type of personality. So the Prophet ﷺ paired him off with a man by the name of Ma'an ibn Adi. معن ابن عدي الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه. And معن ابن عدي, very similar personality. Quiet warrior in the battlefield, someone who follows and obeys the Prophet ﷺ in all things, doesn't really say much. And subhanAllah, the only narration that you find from Ma'an, it's a beautiful one that's worth mentioning here, is at the time of the death of the Prophet ﷺ. Remember Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu standing up in the masjid, holding his sword, ready to kill someone for saying the Prophet ﷺ was dead because of his emotion? Ma'an ibn Adi, like his brother Zayd, Ma'an radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he saw the people crying, and he too, of course, was devastated, just like all of the companions. And when the people said, "Laytana mitna qablahu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," we wish we died before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "Nakhsha an naftatina ba'dahu," because we're afraid of the fitna that will come to us after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma'an radiallahu anhu said, "Lakinni wallahi ma uhibbu anni mittu qablahu." Very interesting. He said, "I actually don't wish that I died before him. Hatta usaddiqahu mayyitan kama saddaqtuhu hayyan." So I can believe in him when he's dead, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way I believed in him when he was alive. Almost like projecting the fitna that's going to happen after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a huge fitna. A lot of people left Islam after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no sugarcoating it. Tens and thousands of people left Islam after the death of the Prophet ﷺ and fell into these weird schisms of false prophets or returning to enmity with the Muslims. And he's saying, I want the reward, the ajr of believing in the Prophet ﷺ after he passed away, the way I believed in the Prophet ﷺ while he was still alive. So this is the brother of Zayd ibn al-Khattab in Medina, and he's going to be at the hip with Ma'an for the rest of his life. Radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. His wife, he marries Habiba bint Abi Amir, the sister of Hanzala, may Allah be pleased with them. Hanzala, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is the one who dies shaheed, and he's called Ghasilul Malaika. The angels washed his body as he was a martyr on the day of Uhud. That is his brother-in-law. Okay, so he marries Habiba bint Abi Amir, radiallahu ta'ala anha, who is the sister of Hanzala and the daughter of one of the great enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the father, Abi Amr, was one of the staunch opponents of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what does he do now? How do you start to see Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu in these battles? In every battle, wherever you saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you saw Zayd. You looked anywhere where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu was close to him. He was a talented horseman. He's one of the few people who never fled the side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even on the day of Uhud. So on the day of Uhud, it's a small group of people that after Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anhu attacked the Muslims from behind, rushed to the side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Zayd is one of those blessed people who was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Badr, who was next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Uhud, who was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Khandaq, and so he was digging next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, near the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Bay'atul Ridwan, the pledge that was taken under the tree, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that he was pleased with those people, and never really makes his presence known except through that action. So he's always with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all of the virtues of serving in that battle and in those battles and being next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Zayd ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu has that position. On the day of Badr, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu remembered, he recalled an incident with his brother. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that I saw him on the day of Badr and he was fighting without armor. He wasn't wearing a coat of armor. He was just going through the battlefield and fighting. So I went to my brother and I took off my armor, and I said, "Albis dir'i." I said, "Wear my armor." And Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded to me, and he says, "Inni uridu min ash-shahadati ma turid." I seek martyrdom in the same way that you seek martyrdom. Like, you know what you're saying, and I know what I'm saying. I seek martyrdom the way that you seek martyrdom in this battle. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, so I left it in the battlefield, and we both fought side by side on the day of Badr without our armor, without our shields. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them victory. Which shows you, by the way, subhanAllah, that their ferociousness in battle and their desire to be counted amongst the shuhada with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be counted amongst the martyrs, did not lead them to like slacken in their fighting, right? Or to, you know, to just wish for someone to hurry up and strike them so they could die. I mean, they won multiple battles in this fashion. But Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a man who said, I am a man who seeks shahada the same way that you seek shahada, Ya Umar. And the only narration that we have from Zayd ibn Khattab outside of the battlefield is on Hajjatul Wada', the farewell Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you should take care of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted with you with. You should feed them of what you feed yourselves, and you should clothe them with what you clothe yourselves. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking about the treatment of the mamluk, the treatment of the slave in society and the goodness that they should be treated with. Zayd radiallahu anhu narrates just that hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's narrated from his nephew, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. So let's go to where he really shines in this regard, since he doesn't talk much. You just have the prototype of someone that's with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the time. Every sahabi that we're going to cover from here on out intersects with the Battle of Yamama or Aam al-Wufud, or the Year of Delegation, because we've spoken so much about Musaylim al-Kadhab and the fitna of the false prophets that it gives you an idea of how terrible this fitna actually was. So the Battle of Yamama takes place in Rabi' al-Awwal of the 12th year. We are, of course, in Rabi' al-Awwal in this year right now. So it takes place in Rabi' al-Awwal, the 12th year after Hijrah. Zayd ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu is commissioned to go out in the war against the apostates, Hurub al-Ridda, by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he goes, and he is actually the first one who was holding the banner of the Muslims. And of course, that denotes a very special place amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَكَانَتْ رَايَةُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مَعَهُ يَوْمَ الْيَمَامَةِ, as the scholars narrate, he is the flag bearer of the Muslims on that day of Yamama. And this was the fitna that was so severe that more companions were killed in this day than any other incident amongst all of the incidents that took place. Over 600 Sahaba were going to be martyred in this particular battle. So you can find multiple Sahaba that are going to be martyred on the day of Yamama. So he is the one who is holding the banner on the day of Yamama. Now Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu gives us a very interesting narration about the man that Zayd will kill on the day of Yamama. The man that Zayd will kill on the day of Yamama to start off the battle. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Kuntu yawman 'inda Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi rahat. That I was once sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a group. So we're in Al-Madinah and we're sitting as a group around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma'na al-Rajjal ibn Unfuwa. Al-Rajjal ibn Unfuwa, not al-Rijal. Al-Rajjal ibn Unfuwa. If you haven't heard his name, there's a reason why. So we were with this man named al-Rajjal ibn Unfuwa. And the Prophet ﷺ says to this group of Sahaba, which shows you, subhanAllah, never be too sure of yourself. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna fikum larajulan dursuhu finnar a'zamu min Uhud. That one of you who is sitting here, your tooth, your molar tooth in hellfire is the size of Jabal Uhud. This is very rare. The Prophet ﷺ talking to a group of Sahaba and saying, one of you is going to go to hell and your molar tooth will be bigger than Mount Uhud in hellfire. Why? Because the bodies are bigger in hellfire. The punishment is felt more as a result of that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Allahumma ameen. So if you look at Jabal Uhud with all of its size, think about that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your tooth would be the size of Uhud in hellfire. So naturally, Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that as we were sitting around, all of us were worried that it could be that person. It shows you, subhanAllah, that idea of not feeling safe from fitna. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could test you at any moment, and Allah azza wa jal could expose something about you in the process. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for husn al-khitam. Allahumma ameen. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I was counting the Sahaba amongst us that day, and one by one they were dying. Until he says, it was just me and this man, Ar-Rajjal ibn Unfuwa. And he says, Ar-Rajjal ibn Unfuwa was someone who used to read the Qur'an at night. Someone who was deeply pious, and who appeared to be a very close man to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then, he said, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, he left Islam and he went and he joined Musaylim al-Kadhab. And that was a fitna for the Muslims. SubhanAllah, why? Because this man could have been like Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and some of those other, Ubay ibn Ka'ab, those young Sahaba who memorized the Qur'an. May Allah protect us. This man left Islam. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, Alhamdulillah, it's not me. Imagine, Abu Hurairah was like, we were five or six, everyone died, and it was just us two, and the Prophet said, one of us is going to hell. And this man left Islam, and he went and he joined Musaylim al-Kadhab, and he says, his fitna was harder on the Muslims than Musaylimah. Why? Because Musaylimah, everyone knew he was an idiot, everyone knew he was a liar, his people were moved by his fitna, Banu Hanifa were moved by his fitna, because there was clearly a tribal, you know, aim here. But a Sahabi, Ar-Rajjal ibn Unfuwa, a Sahabi to leave Islam, a Sahabi who knew the Qur'an, to leave Islam and to go join the likes of Musaylimah, it was a fitna for us. It was a fitna for the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, as we went out to fight Musaylimah, Zayd ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was looking for him. So Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his ghira for the deen, the way he felt, his honor for the religion, Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to find him. And it just so happened that before the battle even flamed, Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu came into a duel with Ar-Rajjal. And Ar-Rajjal, supposedly, you know, Musaylimah did his, when I say these people were weird, you have to understand they're very weird. He did like a ruqya on him, some sort of, he read on him and blew on him in a way that no one's going to be able to hurt him. So when Zayd ibn al-Khattab killed him to start the battle, it actually had a huge impact on demoralizing the troops of Musaylimah. These are the little things in history that you don't pay attention to. So Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu killed him in the duel. And then as the battle started, and the Muslims were hugely, hugely overwhelmed in terms of numbers and forces and weaponry and tricks in the Battle of Yamama. As the battle started, Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu never stopped moving forward. He never stopped moving forward until he ended up fi nahr al-adu, right in the middle of the army. And Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu was shouting out while he was holding the banner, أَمَّا الرِّجَالْ فَلَا رِجَالْ. As for the men, where are the men? Where are the men? So he's pushing the Sahaba to move forward. He doesn't like that some people are moving backwards, because Musaylimah had all sorts of military preparations and an army that's 10 times the size of the Muslims. And they're shooting them with, you know, from catapults. They've got the Hadiqa, the garden of Musaylimah, which is behind this huge fortress. It's not an easy battle. And so some of the Muslims are hesitant. And Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the only time you hear his voice is in battle. أَمَّا الرِّجَالْ فَلَا رِجَالْ. And then Zayd radiallahu anhu even gets frustrated at some point. So you can hear the Umar in him, the Umar radiallahu anhu in him, when Umar radiallahu anhu would be frustrated over people's hesitation towards the sunnah. Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Allahumma inni a'taziru ilayka min firari ashabi. Oh Allah, I seek forgiveness from you, from the fleeing of my companions. Wa abra'u ilayka mimma ja'a bihi Musaylama wa Muhakkamul Yamama. And I free myself from the evil of what Musaylama and Muhakkama, who was one of his disciples, of Yamama have called to. I free myself from them. So Zayd is frustrated with the pace of the Muslims, and he's saying, Oh Allah, I seek forgiveness from you for their fleeing, and I declare myself innocent of the evil of Musaylama and Muhakkam. As he goes forward, he enters into, if you go back and you actually listen to Al-Bara ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, remember Al-Bara was literally catapulted into Hadiqat Musaylama, into the garden of Musaylama, right? He got that close to Musaylama al-Kadhab, and Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu was killed, and the raya, the banner, fell from his hand. And after the banner fell from his hand, Salim Mawla Abi Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhuma picked up the banner, and Salim radiallahu ta'ala anhu was killed. And if you go back, subhanAllah, the way the companions fell, Salim and Abu Hudhayfa, the two best friends, may Allah be pleased with them, the two best friends of the companions, were laying next to each other in the battlefield. Zayd radiallahu anhu, guess who he was laying next to in the battlefield? Ma'an ibn Adi radiallahu anhu, his brother from the Ansar, who said, I don't want to die before the Prophet ﷺ because I want to prove myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I believe in him when he was alive, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I believe in him once again after he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Zayd and Ma'an were next to each other, and Salim and Abu Hudhayfa were next to each other, and they were the two flag bearers of the Muslims that day. Now, subhanAllah, the story becomes more profound in lessons in grief. Lessons in grief. So Zayd, you could summarize this whole story. The quiet older brother of Umar ibn al-Khattab, who became Muslim before him, who made hijrah before him, who was a shaheed before him. May Allah be pleased with them. But the story actually gets very interesting and profound when you look at the grief then. When the soldiers were coming back to Medina, the news had reached Medina that the Muslims won, that Khalid radiallahu anhu had gained victory, but after a difficult battle. So the messenger had already reached Medina to let Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu know that the Sahaba won the battle. But the messenger told him that hundreds of Sahaba were killed. So I want you to actually think of the scene in Al-Madinah where all the families of the Sahaba are coming out and waiting to see who made it back. It's a very difficult moment to actually try to think about, you know, like, it's not Uhud. It's the first experience that they really have like this. It's not Uhud where it all happened in Medina. It happened all the way in Najd, modern day Riyadh, right? And all the families are out there, mothers, fathers, spouses, children, waiting to see who made it back. And we said that the description of Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu was what? That he was so awkwardly tall that from a distance you only would see him. And so Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was out there and he was nervously pacing over Zayd. He wants to see his brother Zayd. Now subhanAllah, something very interesting here about Umar. Umar's son Abdullah was one of those people that went out to fight. But Umar was more nervously pacing over Zayd. So he was pacing, waiting for the news. And then when they came back, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as he saw the group approaching and he didn't see Zayd, Umar radiallahu anhu immediately fell into grief. Like he knows he's about to get that news. So as Ibn Hajar rahimahullah says, فَلَمَّا أُوتِيَ عُمَرُ قَتْلَهُ حَزِنَ حُزْنًا شَدِيدًا. He fell into grief. He started to cry. And subhanAllah, you find this conversation with him and his son. Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, with them both. Abdullah comes to his father, almost ashamed that I let my uncle die. Right? I didn't do enough to save my uncle. So he says to Abdullah ibn Umar, and this shows you, again, a human side of them, but still, it shows you the virtue or what Zayd meant to Umar, this man who is virtually unknown in the books. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he sees his son Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's not embracing him and celebrating. He looks to him and he says, أَلَا هَلَكْتَ قَبْلَ زَيْدٍ هَلَكَ زَيْدٌ وَأَنْتَ حَيٍّ. How could you not have died before Zayd? Zayd was killed and you're still alive. And he even tells him, أَصْرِفْ وَجْهِكَ عَنِّي. Don't let me see your face. Like, I'm upset with you for not doing more. You know the virtue of Zayd. You know who he is, your uncle Zayd. وَالْعَمْ سِنْوَ الْوَالِدِ as the Prophet ﷺ said. The paternal uncle is like your father. How could you let Zayd be killed? How could you not stand up and defend him when the enemies came towards him? And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma says to his father, he says, يَا أَبَتِي, O my father, قَدْ حَرَسْتُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ أَنْ يَكُونَ. He said, look, I actually was hoping that I would be a shaheed before him. وَلَكِنْ نَفْسِي تَأَخَّرَتْ فَأَكْرَمَهُ اللَّهُ بِالشَّهَادَةِ. He said, but my nafs, myself, my lower self, it pulled me back a bit. But as for my uncle Zayd, he never stopped going forward. So Allah honored him with shahada and he didn't grant me that honor. Subhanallah. So think of the grief of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu over Zayd radiallahu anhu, his older brother, the quiet older brother, to the point that he's telling his son, I don't want to see you because you should have stood up and protected your uncle. Why didn't you protect your uncle? And the way Abdullah, and we know how righteous Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma is, the copy of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the man who loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, no one kept the pace of Zayd in the battle of Yamama. Listen to what Umar says. Umar radiallahu anhu said, رحم الله أخي زيد سبقني إلى الحسنيين أسلم قبلي واستشهد قبلي. May Allah have mercy on my brother Zayd. He beat me to the two good things, to the two beautiful things. He became Muslim before me, and he was granted shahada before me. As if you can remember that conversation between them and Badr, where Umar's trying to give him an armor, and Zayd is saying, I'm seeking the same thing that you're seeking. Get it away from me. And Umar knew that the bushra of shahada, the glad tidings of shahada, was there for him because the Prophet ﷺ told him on that day when Uhud shook, Uthbut ya Uhud, be firm, O Uhud, because you have upon you a prophet, a Siddiq, Abu Bakr, wa shahidain, and two martyrs, Umar and Uthman. So Umar radiallahu anhu would say, Rahim Allahu Akhi Zayd, may Allah have mercy on my brother Zayd. He beat me to Islam and he beat me to shahada. And another narration, Rahim Allahu Akhi Zayd, may Allah have mercy on my brother Zayd. Everything I tried to do, he did it first. Sabaqani ila al-Islam, wa sabaqani ila al-Hijra, wa sabaqani ila al-Jihad fi sabilillah. Subhanallah, may Allah have mercy on my brother Zayd. He beat me to Islam, he beat me to the Hijra, and he beat me to that martyrdom. Go on, and this is where the story gets even richer. Umar radiallahu anhu was that man who you don't really associate grieving over the dead with. Right? Like, he's not the type that you would expect great grief over the dead. In the sense that, in fact, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu condemned a woman who was crying at the death of her husband because he thought crying was haram. Right? And then the Prophet ﷺ's hadith, of course, overcame where the Prophet ﷺ banned an-niyaha, which was wailing, to tear the clothes and to smack yourself and to scream, but not the tears. The Prophet ﷺ did not condemn the crying, did not condemn the tears. Umar radiallahu anhu thought at first it was haram to cry. So he's not someone that you associate grief over the dead. However, the description of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that he did not grieve over anyone the way he grieved over his brother Zayd. And in fact, he would never stop talking about him. He would never stop missing him. And Umar radiallahu anhu has a beautiful line, كان يقول, so he used to say on a regular basis, he used to say, ما هبت الصبا إلا وأنا أجد ريح زيت. The wind does not blow from the east, except I can smell the scent of Zayd. وَإِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسف. I can smell Yusuf alayhi salam. Right? When Yaqub said that about his father, Umar radiallahu anhu was saying, I still smell Zayd. Every day when the wind blows, I smell him. I smell my brother Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda. So beautiful, so powerful, because if a man like Umar radiallahu anhu can grieve that way, what does it tell us about our situation? And he say, well, how come he didn't grieve this way over someone else or this person or this person? Subhanallah. There's something between these two brothers, and there's something about the virtue and the righteousness of Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu in this regard. And it shows you, as the ulama mentioned as well, the permissibility, right, of remembering. And the fact that he remembered for years and years to come despite his righteousness shows you, subhanAllah, that a deep connection truly can carry something supernatural. Remember, Umar radiallahu anhu was the one who said, Ya Sariyatul Jabal. He felt an army approaching a group of people from far away. And so some of the ulama say it could be from the miracles of Umar radiallahu anhu, the karamat of Umar, that Umar radiallahu anhu actually kept the scent of Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And of course, many people, subhanAllah, they describe remembering the scent of their loved ones. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us all with our loved ones. Fil firdaus al-a'la. Allahumma ameen. It continues. Story of grieving over Zayd, and we learn about Zayd through the grief of Umar. May Allah be pleased with them. Ahmad ibn Ammar al-Abdi, he narrates from his father, who narrates from his grandfather, he says, Salaytu ma Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu al-subh, that I once prayed Salatul Fajr with Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he says, فَلَمَّا انْقَضَى مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ, when he finished his prayer, إِذَا هُوَ بِرَجُلٍ قَصِيرٍ أَعْوَرٍ, he saw a man who was short, and he had one eye, basically. That's the description of him in this regard. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, Man hadha? Who is this man? So they said, Mutammim ibn Nuwayra. Mutammim ibn Nuwayra radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Mutammim is the brother of Malik ibn Nuwayra, who Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anhu was blamed for being too quick to kill that tribe, right? Because he assumed them to have apostated. So Mutammim is the brother of Malik ibn Nuwayra, and Malik ibn Nuwayra is a character that we really don't know what his state was when he died. We know Khalid radiallahu anhu was blamed for being too quick, right, in marching with the army, but we don't know much about him. But Mutammim is a good Muslim. And Mutammim missed his brother a lot. So Mutammim used to author, Umar radiallahu anhu asked, Ma sha'nuhu, what's his situation? Said Mutammim authors poetry about his brother all day long. He misses Malik ibn Nuwayra, and he's a poet, so he writes poetry about how much he misses him. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu says to Mutammim ibn Nuwayra, Ma ashaddu ma laqita ala akhika min al-huzn. Like, what incredible, you know, grief you have over your brother. What happened to you as a result of that grief? SubhanAllah, he says, كانت عيني هذه قد ذهبت. So he points to the eye that's no longer there. Now, whether it's there, whether it's defective, or he went blind in that eye, all of it could be implied. But the point is, he can't see out of one eye. And he says that my sadness literally caused me to lose sight in one eye. وأشار إليها, and he pointed to it. قال فبكيت بالصحيحة. He said, so I cried with the good eye. And he said, وَكَثْرَةُ الْبُكَاءِ, that the amount of crying that I did with the good eye, it basically watered الْعَيْنُ الذَّهِبَ. It watered the eye that is gone. Like, he's basically saying that I cry so much out of this the good eye that I have, that it nurtures the other eye. I mean, he's using poetry again. He's a very poetic man, but he's conveying to Umar radiallahu anhu that I'm in deep pain. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Inna hadha al-huzna shadeed. He says that this grief is indeed severe. Ma yahzunu hakadha ahadun ala halikihi. So he goes on to say that this type of huzn is so difficult on a person that it could literally do away with a person. And then Umar radiallahu anhu says, يَرْحَمُ اللَّهُ أَخِي زَيْد, may Allah have mercy on my brother Zayd. إِنِّي لَأَحْزِبُ أَنِّي لَوْ كُنْتُ أَقْدِرُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ أَقُولَ الشِّعْرَ لَبَكَيْتُهُ كَمَا بَكَيْتَ أَخَاكَ. SubhanAllah, he said, I think that if I could come up with the words of poetry, the way that you come up with words of poetry about your brother, that I would cry for him in the same way that you cry for him. You imagine Umar radiallahu anhu saying that? Like, that's how much this man who cried himself blind, Umar radiallahu anhu was saying, I think if I had the words that you have, I would cry myself blind over Zayd. And then Mutammim says to Umar radiallahu anhu, قَالَ لَوْ أَنَّ أَخِي مَاتَ عَلَى مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ أَخُوكَ مَا رَثَيْتُهُ. He said, but if my brother died the way that your brother died, I would not be grieving him. أن عمر رضي الله عنه said ما عزاني أحد عن أخي مثل ما عزاني به متمم. No one gave me more happiness and peace over the death of my brother than Mutammim when he said that. Like he had to remind me, your brother died shaheed, right? You're grieving over your brother, but your brother died shaheed, so you shouldn't feel that type of pain. Basically he's saying that my pain over my brother is also not knowing what became of him in the hereafter. It's not just missing him in this world, but it's also what may have become of him in the hereafter. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is saying, no one gave me more peace of mind than that man, than Mutammim, when he said that to me, because I realized that, alhamdulillah, my brother died shaheed. And subhanAllah, this is a lesson for us in the people of Gaza as well. May Allah Azza wa Jalla accept them all as shuhada. That we hate what we're seeing. And we can cry over the grief that we feel over them while still being at peace over what we know that Allah will do with them. That it's not the same as someone who just loses their loved one to a gruesome accident. That there is that peace of heart and that peace of mind in knowing that these are people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of. May Allah azza wa jalla accept them all as shuhada. Allahumma ameen. But there's another dimension. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu one day is in al-Madinah and someone points out a man to him. And he says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know who that man is? Who can guess? What do you all think? That's the guy that killed your brother. He's Muslim now. SubhanAllah, like you talk about layer upon layer upon layer, all this grief, all this pain, and the people point to him and they say that that is Aba Maryam al-Hanafi. Aba Maryam al-Hanafi, he's the one that killed your brother on the day of Yamama. Taba ila Allah wa raja'a. He repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he came back and he's here in al-Madinah. This is a whole nother dimension here. Umar radiallahu anhu is the Khalifa right now. He could say, you come here, smack him, chop off his head. I mean, like, think about it. What do you think a ruler back in that day would do, like in the 7th century would do, right? Even just the tribalism that people used to have. Do away with him, right? Or at least punch him in the face, spit on him, curse him. And this is Umar radiallahu anhu. There's no lack of strength here, but the Prophet ﷺ mentions that strength is not a person who can overcome the other. الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدِ الْغَضَبِ, but the one who controls himself in anger. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes up to him and he says, وَيْحَكَ, woe to you. لَقَدْ قَتَلْتَ لِي أَخًا, you have killed a brother of mine. مَا هَبَّتِ الصَّبَاءِ إِلَّا ذَكَرْتُهُ, the wind does not blow except that I remember him. Woe to you, what pain you caused me. Now, subhanAllah, this is like a deja vu of what we said last week with Tulayha radiallahu anhu, when Umar radiallahu anhu confronted him in Hajj, the one who killed Ukasha, right? Kills noble Sahaba. But here, this is his brother, it's personal. And Umar radiallahu anhu grieves over his brother like he doesn't grieve over anyone else. And what do you think the response of Abu Maryam al-Hanafi was? The same response Tulayha gave. قَالَ أَكْرَمَهُ اللَّهُ قَالَ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, O commander of the believers, أَكْرَمَهُ اللَّهُ بِيَدِي وَلَمْ يُهِنِّي بِيَدِهِ, he said, O commander of the believers, Allah honored him through my hand and Allah did not disgrace me through his hand. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I mean, it's not the most satisfying answer, right? Like, but he's saying to him at the end of the day, again, your brother died shaheed. And Allah honored him, and I just happened to be the hand in that qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah gave him the position that he was seeking anyway. But Allah did not disgrace me with his hand. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wants to ask him now questions about Yamama. So he says to him, كَمْ تَرَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ قَتَلُوا مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ, how many people do you think the Muslims killed from amongst you on the day of Yamama? قَالَ أَلْفًا وَأَرْبَعْمِئَةِ يَزِيدُونَ قَلِيلًا, said about 1,400 and maybe a little bit more. Umar radiallahu anhu said, بِئْسَ الْقَتْلَ, what evil people they are, what losers they are to have died that day and to be killed by the likes of Zayd and Al-Bara and Abu Dujana and Salim, like what horrible people. people they are. Just like قتلانا في الجنة وقتلاكم في النار. Our dead are in paradise and your dead are in hellfire. And Umar رضي الله عنه is still looking at him and he's kind of talking to him like, you're from the enemy. So he says, بئس القتلى. And Abu Maryam says to him, الحمد لله الذي أبقاني حتى رجعت إلى الدين الذي رضي لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم وللمسلمين. Abu Maryam said, Alhamdulillah, Allah let me live until he guided me back to the religion that he was pleased with for his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for the Muslims. And Umar radiallahu anhu found closure in that he felt he was sincere. And you want to know how it goes? That Ibn Abdul Barr actually narrates that Umar radiallahu anhu appointed him as a judge in Basra, as a qadi in Basra. Not only did he not penalize him or hurt him, even though he loved Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but he felt him to be sincere in his tawbah, and he still has the best interests of the Muslims at heart. And so Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu appoints him as a judge. Some of the scholars debated with Ibn Abdul Barr's assessment. They said it was another Abu Maryam al-Hanafi that Umar radiallahu anhu appointed. So that's another discussion altogether. So you see another dimension here of the justice of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that we praise so much. Now, who was left behind from Zayd ibn al-Khattab, this amazing luminary, the silent giant Zayd ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu? He had two kids, Abdurrahman and Asma. As for Asma radiallahu anha, we don't know anything about her. As for Abdurrahman was 6 years old when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. So technically, he's a companion too. Abdurrahman ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And he became a hadith narrator. And Umar radiallahu anhu raised Abdurrahman with his own kids. So Abdurrahman ibn Zayd was raised with Abdullah ibn Umar and with Asim and with the rest of the children of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And again, that idea of al-am, sin wal-walid, the uncle, is like the father. That Umar radiallahu anhu truly assumed a position like a father to him. And one of the most beautiful narrations that I found from Abdurrahman, that's narrated in al-Isaba, Abdurrahman ibn Zayd, he says, كنت أنا وعاصم ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab في البحر. That Asim and I were swimming in the ocean. And he said that this was a time of Umrah or Hajj, so we were in Ihram, so it would have been along the coast on their way to Mecca that they were swimming in the ocean. قَالَ يَغِيبُ رَأْسِي وَأَغِيبُ رَأْسَ. He was dipping my head into the water, and I was dipping his head into the water. Gives you another dimension. وَعُمْرُ بْنُ خَطَابُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ يَنْظُرُ بِالسَّاحِلِ. And Umar رضي الله عنه was watching from the shore. Umar taking the kids out to swim. It's the closest thing that you get to that human moment of his nephew, of his beloved brother, who he loves so much. And it shows you that side of these companions and these great people, that you can imagine Asim and Abdurrahman, that they were dipping their heads into the water and playing together, and Umar radiallahu anhu watching them as they did so. However, another interesting fact is that Abdurrahman actually says, my name was actually Muhammad, so my father named me Muhammad. But he said, one time, there was a man that got mad at me, and so he started to insult me with the name Muhammad. So he started to say, you know, فَعَلَ اللَّهُ بِكَ يَا مُحَمَّدُ وَفَعَلَ وَفَعَلَ. You know, oh, you know, so he's yelling at me and he's using the name Muhammad. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, يَبْنَ زَيْدْ أُدْنُ. He said, come here, O son of Zayd. He says, أَلَا أَرَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَوْ قَالَ مُحَمَّدْ يُسَبُّ بِكْ. I can't stand to see the name of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم insulted because of you. So he says, وَاللَّهِ لَا تُدْعَ مُحَمَّدًا مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا. You're not going to be called Muhammad anymore. وَسَمَّاهُ عَبْدُرَحْمَانِ. I'm going to call you Abdurrahman instead. Because I don't like seeing people insult the name of Muhammad. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم received that on account of you. And so he actually named him Abdurrahman, and this was common, of course, because Umar radiallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith, أحب الأسماء إلى الله, the two most beloved names to Allah are Abdurrahman and Abdullah, and Umar radiallahu anhu named three of his kids Abdurrahman, so he just added his nephew to Abdurrahman as well. And Abdurrahman ibn Zayd lived a long life, and he died in the life of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and Abdullah ibn Umar was actually the one, his cousin, who washed him, who shrouded him, who buried him and who led his janazah. And what an amazing honor that actually is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them all. So we get back to Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the short entry, it's literally less than a page, of Sir Alam al-Nubula al-Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah. He mentions him and his fadila and his virtue of being min shuhada al-Yamama. And as I said, we're going to talk about the martyrs of Yamama. And he starts to list out the names of the people that have been killed in Yamama, and they were over 600 companions. And there's a note on his grave in this regard. So subhanAllah, it's actually, I've never had the chance to visit, but if any of you are ever in Riyadh, this graveyard is actually there, Shuhada al-Sahaba, the Shuhada from the Sahaba, the Battle of Yamama, 600 companions. Of course, they used to build domes and they used to build, you know, huge structures on top of some of the graves of the Sahaba, right? Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what you'll note in the history books is they say that he had the largest qubba. If you remember when we talked about Abbas radiallahu anhu, we actually showed a picture of it. So Zayd radiallahu anhu had the largest structure built on his grave in Ma'rakat al-Yamama, in the Battle of Yamama. So when people would come to visit, his grave was the one that stood out. And of course, that's not the case anymore. And if you could just put this picture. I don't know why this picture made me very emotional, subhanAllah. That's the grave of Zayd ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking to myself, subhanAllah, where is this man going to be standing in terms of the people who enter into Jannah? If Abu Bakr and Umar, may Allah be pleased with them, will be entering with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his sides, where is Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the quiet brother of Umar radiallahu anhu, who Umar testifies was more virtuous than him? And that tells you something, that it's not about the structures on the grave, it's about the station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the position on the Day of Judgment and entering into Al-Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept him. Radiallahu anhu wa an akhi, may Allah be pleased with his brother, Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us with them all, with our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fil firdaus al-a'la. Allahumma ameen.